This station, in cooperation with the Federal Civil Defense Administration, presents by transcription Road to Survival.
I'm a writer. What follows is fiction. God help us if the day should arrive and the same assignment must be handled as a current event, as the history of a day of reality in our land. I call this an assignment deliberately. It has a purpose, to shake you a little, to save lives, perhaps, to impress upon you some reasons for the need in our land for voluntary civil defense. I submit to you a mixture of fiction and fact. The story is fiction, lying in the future. What happens in the story, we have every reason to believe will be fact. Undeniable, ugly. What you will hear is a known set of facts about civil defense, about the H-bomb, about the city that suffers its attack. It begins in a high school classroom. One of the boys speaking is Mark Douglas.
Now, don't get me wrong, Mark. She's okay, but her old man's a terror. Same old thing. Have her home by 10 o'clock, will you, son? You know what I mean, Mark.
Yeah, same thing used to happen to me and Jan. Now, I don't know. Her dad's not such an ogre.
Oh, yeah? Maybe I ought to start going steady. Quit messing around. You go bowling last night?
Oh, here she comes, Bill. Class, we will now begin today's English literature lesson.
Hey, she's looking this way.
Class, let's settle down. Class, we will begin today's English literature lesson with page 389.
Hey, Bill, that's the civil defense alarm.
But they never ring it, you know, without warning. A drill warning.
Class, please remain quiet. I don't understand this. We're usually told. However, class, let's take our positions as we've rehearsed.
What the heck, Mark? Do you suppose?
You know, I got a feeling this one ain't practice. You know something else? It's just like you said at the track meet. Man, we got a roll.
The boy is right. This is not a practice drill. From this instant on, none of the facts can be altered. And you and I have met one member of a family of three, Mark Douglas. Mark's mother is a nurse in a general hospital. She is there now.
Dr. Hale just cleared 313 to check out after lunch, Douglas. I asked one of the maids to help her pack.
Did he say anything about removing the drainage tubes from that gallbladder in 320?
No, but he'll be back for afternoon rounds.
Before I forget, we'd better check central supply for another drainage bottle. There's another gallbladder in surgery now. He'll be out of the recovery room late this afternoon. We can put him in 313 by then.
I'd better go right now while there's a lull.
Help! Had your coffee break?
Not yet, you?
Let's take it when you get back.
That's the civil defense alarm.
There's no practice scheduled today. There was nothing said at the staff meeting.
Well, then it can't be a practice. We'd have had a warning.
With a hospital full of patients, we're supposed to just get up and go?
And so comes that first tinge of emptiness in the stomach of the second member of the Douglas family. Something else has become obvious. Mrs. Douglas and Mark have known something of civil defense through his school and her hospital. In the center of this city, the third member of the family works. Harvey Douglas is an account executive in an advertising agency.
Look, Sam, all he'll take is adjacencies to your 8 to 8:30 show Wednesdays. Well, see when you can clear it and give me a call, huh? He wants the campaign to start in 10 days. Okay, Sam. Yeah, Sal?
You asked me to remind you to hear that news show at 10.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Allie. I want the boss to hear it, so we'll be in the conference room. Try to hold off any calls, will you?
Will do.
Be your head with quality bread. Dun, 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 dun. Morning, Bill.
Oh, hi, Harvey. Say, I liked the gimmick on the fading commercials last night. I talked to him this morning. He sold.
Took long enough. It's just about time for the news show. I'd better warm up the radio.
This is the quality bread account?
Yeah. 26 weeks with options.
Enough time left to get into another record, so let's try out with a little theme.
Oh, must have lost the record. There's no theme.
Yeah, that's funny. This station's more on the ball than that. Wonder if it's this set.
Must be a tube, huh? Wow, listen to that whistle.
We interrupt our normal program to cooperate in security and civil defense measures as requested by the United States government. This is a Conrad radio alert. Normal broadcasting will now be discontinued for an indefinite period. Civil defense information will be broadcast in most areas at 6:40 or 12:40 on your regular radio receiver. I repeat, this is a Conrad radio alert.
What normal broadcasting is this? Will now be
Conrad, this means an air raid warning.
You mean a practice?
Civil defense information will be
broadcast. No, I don't think so.
Areas at
I've got a feeling.
Or 12:40 on your regular radio
receiver. I think
receiver.
It means get out of town.
And shortly, the sound of survival pounds through the air to the ears of the million people, give or take a few, whose home is this city. Conrad. Sirens. Horns. Whistles. Pounding out their signals of no choice but to seek a road to survival. And now, too, from that radio in the conference room of the ad agency, the two men have heard the civil defense director tell his population quietly and firmly to leave their city, to pursue the plan for mass evacuation. Mr. Tate straightens from his crouch of listening.
Harvey, that's it. We're in the line of attack. I have said I'd never live to see the day.
I've been watching the people down in the street. They stand there listening to car radios, and yet they don't seem to hear.
Are they coming out of the buildings?
A few. They step out the door and just look up. They don't move until more push out the door behind them. You're lucky, Bill. You live so far out. Your wife may be safe. Your daughter away.
Perhaps there's the value of a small-town college.
Another year and my son would be.
Bill, the schools have had drills. They may have a chance. Those kids may get out of town. The kids are strong.
Lord, give them time to walk away if they have to.
Margaret's at the hospital? Is it far enough out?
If the building doesn't crumble, the heat blast may take it. It's right on the fringe. I don't know.
Surely they'll evacuate me.
Alone she could make it, but she'll have to stay with the patients. She would. At least Margaret knows where her duty lies. We can only start moving.
Start moving. A bewildering answer to a question that had never been asked by far too many. Can we be prepared? And prepared is a word in the past tense. It cannot be brought back. Its substitute is start moving. Even that is difficult. A hospital cannot.
Help, see to it the beds are pushed together as close as possible.
All the fifth floor bed patients are down now. They're starting on the fourth. I don't know. This basement's going to be packed to the gills.
Make sure there are two patients to every bed, or we're sunk.
Here comes some more on the elevator. Keep circulating. We've got to prevent panicking.
Orderly, bring them this way. We're setting up maternity in the laundry room. Are those medications? Down there.
It's this one over here.
You'll be all right, miss. Look, you've got to calm down. You're not doing yourself any good. You're just upsetting everyone.
Caleb, get an okay for a hypo here.
You'll feel better in a few minutes.
Here you go.
Thanks. Now straighten your arm. There. I'd like to scream too, but it's too late.
And what of the children? The order has been issued for the high schools to evacuate students on foot. It is figured they can reach temporary safety at least with comparative ease. Room by room, the high school students are led out of their building in columns of two. Among them, Mark Douglas and his steady, Janet Baker.
Jan, change places. We can be together.
Mark, I'm so scared. I'm so scared I feel sick.
So's everybody. You've just got to walk. Walk away from it.
Can we? Even if we can, why? There'll be nothing.
Jan, I love you. I love you. That's something, isn't it? That's not nothing.
Mark, our folks, will we see them?
Sure. Well, I mean, you got to figure on something. You got to hope, at least. I mean, it's not all over.
Mark, take my hand, please.
Sure. It might not even happen. The planes might not even... Jan, your folks, mine, they'll be okay. We've got to worry about us right now, not them, or we'll go nuts. I mean, hope, sure, but let's face it, we're in a mess, but we're together.
Together, with a million people, and time running out, an overwhelming sense of escape begins to surge. In the center of the city, every means of transportation is commanded. Getting to it is a fight. The crowds are stifling.
Bill, hang on to me. We'll be separated.
If we don't make it to a car or a bus or something, I don't think I can go much more of this. That woman's fallen, Harvey. She'll be crushed.
I know. We can't help. We can't reach her to help.
And to the basement of the General Hospital and Nurse Margaret Douglas.
We've got to make more room, Hallep. There are still more bed patients that can't be evacuated.
No, they're all down here. All those that could ride have been taken away by the women in the neighborhood who had cars. The rest are all down here.
Oh, Hallep, where do you think our families are? Have they...
Let's get some coffee. These people here need our help. We've raised our families. We can't help them now.
And to the children, headed for an old picnic area, partially protected by the bluffs at the edge of the city.
I can't help it, Mark. I can't help thinking about them. Mother will just go to pieces. She'll never get away.
We're almost to the picnic area, Jan. It's not far to go. Come on, pull yourself together. We've got to make it. Out there, we've got to help others. There'll soon be things we have to do.
I don't believe you, Mark. I don't believe you. There's nothing anybody can do.
There is, Jan. Yes, there is. They can live.
The estimated warning time is ticking away. The people of this city are surging out into the countryside. Those strong enough to make their way through the crowds will survive, perhaps. But the city was not prepared, except for a small nucleus of believers in civil defense. But they were not listened to. And the clock now has no need for ticking. As I said, I'm a writer. This was an assignment. The story is fiction. Its substance is fact. The now unrecognizable city can be itemized as follows. Center ring, 1.5 mile radius, demolished. Second ring, 3 mile radius, partially demolished, burning out of control. With warning time of 3.5 hours, casualties are running 75,000 dead, 100,000 injured. With civil defense training, the number of dead and injured might be cut 90%. And so concludes part one of this assignment. Part two will follow the evacuation of these people into the open land surrounding their city. Can they survive there? Listen for My Brother's Keeper, next in this series.
To Survival was written by Pete Morstead and produced and transcribed by the Rocky Mountain Radio Council for the Federal Civil Defense Administration under the production supervision of Nat S. Linden.